Okay, hello, good morning, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Lindsay Logan, Global Clinical Trial Services Marketing Manager here at PCI Pharma Services. Today I'm joined by Brian Kesey, our Senior Vice President of Clinical Trial Services, Gil Valadez, our Senior Vice President of Commercial Packaging Technology, and Derek Turninger, our Director of Quality Operations in San Diego. Before we get started, I just have a few housekeeping items to mention. First, please ensure that you are muted so that we can hear all that our speakers have to say and we'll be sharing. And second, because this is an informal chat, we welcome and encourage all of your questions. Any questions you have, please enter it into the chat function located in your toolbar. And if you are not able to access the chat, please send your questions directly to me via text, iMessage, or WhatsApp at 910-612-7322. And with that, I will hand it over to the team to briefly introduce themselves.
I guess I'll go first. Hello, my name is Brian Kazee. I lead the global clinical business here for PCI. I've been with PCI for going on nine. I'm in my ninth year, which is hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun. And I've been in the industry for about 20. Gil, you want to go next?
Yep. Gil Valadez, my entire career has been in operations and supply chain, basically bookend a small stint in advisory at McKinsey, my own firm, and then EY, but really excited to be with everyone today.
Thanks, Gil. My name is Derek Turninger, obviously Director of Quality Operation for PCI Pharma Services out of our San Diego facility. I've been with PCI for 11 years now, so to Brian's point, it goes by really quick, and looking forward to a good discussion today and a year in review. So, Lindsay, back to you.
Lindsay, you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry. So today we will be doing a Q&A style format. So getting started with our first question, which is, what have been the biggest challenges for our business during 2021?
Well, that is a great question. And I think we'd be remiss to not talk a little bit about COVID, but I think we'll jump to something else first, because I think COVID drove some of it. But as the Wall Street Journal called it, we've seen the great resignation across the pharmaceutical industry in the probably the past 12 months. I think it was driven a lot because nobody quit their job. So nobody left, nobody changed jobs for quite a long time. And then as things started to open up, I think opportunities appeared for folks, and a lot of people took advantage of that. So probably the biggest challenge that I've seen both within our walls and at our customers and our partners is the amount of people that have changed roles. We've seen it a lot in our teams, and we've also, you know, there's nobody left mad per se, but a lot of people had opportunities that they just couldn't turn down. And we saw it with our customers a lot too, with a lot of our contacts changing. So if you think about all of the change that happened within the industry, it added a lot of complexity just with handoffs and things like that. But I think that's probably been the biggest challenge from my perspective.
Yeah, if I could jump in, I'd say besides the mute button management, which I think has been one of the greatest challenges of all of us, right, over the last year, supply chain. So obviously, as the head of global supply chain for PCI, we've got a phenomenal team worldwide, you know, working hard to make sure that patients and our clinical trials and our customers are being serviced. And, you know, there's a few factors, I think, at play that, you know, I think folks have heard a lot about, whether in the news or by lived experience, right? And I think the way that some of the things are different, though, than in the past is that you really did see some raw material, so commodity pressures, which, you know, there's really no expediting fee. If the paper mill is putting out a certain amount of product, that's really going to be the limiting factor. And so, that's something. You also saw lead times on things that typically we didn't have to think about sourcing, that we just sort of took for granted that, you know, that's something that you can always get, pretty relatively quickly. Those lead times began to actually get into the planning cycle lead times. And so that created a new challenge where you had to be even more ahead of your and proactive in your planning cycle. The last piece, though, is probably the biggest driver now beyond those sort of, you know, the physical limitations of what we see happening in our ports. And that's human behavior. So, you know, I'm sure there's some folks that are joining us today on the chat that probably still have some toilet paper that they brought last year that cost three times as much, that, you know, probably one ply versus your what you usually like. And, you know, that was because we had such a rush. And so we're seeing that in the supply chain, too. So I guess the piece that I would kind of leave you with as we talk about the biggest challenge is maybe sort of a silver lining. And that is that what we've seen with our customers and what we've enjoyed with our suppliers is this is sort of, you know, you've had a lot of partnership over the years and beginning to share and be more transparent. But that's really, really accelerating in this new environment. If you're not being direct and candid with your customers or your clients or your suppliers, you know, you're really going to miss deadlines. You're going to really put things at risk, jeopardy. So I think that's a huge silver lining here. And I think, you know, of all the things of this new way of working, that'll be one to really think of how we take forward. So.
Thank you. This one is for Derek. What regulatory changes have you seen?
Yeah, 2021 was really, really interesting for a number of reasons. And, you know, you think about quality, most people think, hey, you know, pretty conservative. But, you know, the pandemic changed all that. You had to really think outside the box. You had to figure out a way to do audits. You know, business still has to be performed. And the biggest thing that we saw, and again, you guys have all heard it, it's nothing new, but just the rise of virtual audits or virtual site reviews, you know, using cloud-based solutions to share documents and really, really figure out how to conduct an audit. And, you know, what we saw from our clients and what we saw in the industry is that, you know, a lot of people took a risk-based approach to say, hey, how critical are you as a supplier? What's been the history? Where do we think that, you know, your risk profile is at, and what can we do? And, you know, I think it really fostered a new level of collaboration between sponsors and you know, CMOs, because we had to work together on it. It's to serve a dual purpose. And how do we make sure that, you know, we're being as transparent as we can within the bounds of what we can do from a technical limitation standpoint? And, you know, we see that continuing even into 2022. Obviously, we see some on-site audits coming back, but, you know, clients still like that hybrid approach to where you can review documents ahead of time. You've got your questions laid out, and then you come on site, you see the facility, meet the people, and, you know, you turn a two-day audit into one. So I think there's a lot of improvements and efficiencies that have come through it, and I think it'll help everybody to stay on that edge, if you will. So that's what I've seen, Lindsay.
Thank you. All right, next question. How has the COVID pandemic changed where and how we work, and how much of these changes do you guys expect to be permanent?
So I'll take that one, guys, if you don't mind. I'll start. I think, you know, we have this approach in our lives now, and I think it was coming that way, but the pandemic kind of sped it up to where we can pretty much get everything that we need sitting in front of a computer, and it shows up at your door the next day. That has really changed. That I think that's going to change our industry a little bit, but it's made that where we work and how we work. I think everyone likes the work. Most people like the work from home, and we have gone to a pretty significant work from home for every role that can. The real trick is, how do you not lose the secret sauce of collaboration and team, you know, that team environment that you have when you can circle the wagons together and attack a difficult situation. So I think that we have to still find a way to have all those things, those benefits of collaboration, but also be able to be flexible enough to allow people to work from home or work from anywhere, right? It's not from home anymore. That's a great benefit for all of our employees, both within our customers and for us. I think it's the challenge, like I said, is to not lose the secret sauce that makes you special. And how do you continue to do that collaboration while you're remote or virtual? What do you think, Gil?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Brian. And I think so, in kind of keeping with that theme of some of the positive things to think about, I think it's also created a great filtering in some of the work. So I think when we've just sort of converted our, you know, in-person work life, if folks remember early in the pandemic, to a virtual life, it became, at least for me, you know, 12 to 18 hours a day of meetings. And it was punishing. And then I remember like, hey, I don't want to have any more virtual happy hours. Okay. I can drink sadly on my own during the pandemic. And I think in all seriousness, what started to happen is meetings got shorter. Virtual meetings got sharper. Agendas got focused. And I think as we start to hybrid and just kind of really building on Brian's point, now when we get those opportunities to come together in a setting where we're collaborating, we really want to be doing those unique things that are really moved forward in terms of building relationship, experiencing the operations, being able to see the folks that are doing the work on the front lines. I think that's where we want to maximize. But let's not lose this new toolkit of focused, efficient virtual collaboration that, you know, frankly allows us to not put off meetings for another quarter that we could frankly have this week. And I think those are some new ways of working that that I think we'll want to take. I think, you know, the idea of health and wellness, I think, is another theme that I think, you know, takes on a whole new level of intensity when you think about how much we've thought about our employee and our coworkers and our teammates and our family's health. And I hope that, you know, beyond dealing with a global pandemic, that we continue to foster that environment at work where, hey, we really care about your health and total well-being, you know, as a person, not just in the context of a pandemic. Derek, what do you think? Anything?
Yeah, no, you're hitting on some high notes there, because, you know, I was thinking about, you know, my wife and my kids and just how the pandemic has changed stuff. And, you know, I'm sure we've all been on calls where you hear kids in the background. And I think it really does humanize people because we're all in it together, and it, you know, kind of pulls not only the sites together, but, you know, again, the clients, us, everybody. You know, I think that's really important. And as we think about 2022 and beyond, that empathy, you know, being an empathetic leader to the troops, I think that's really, really important. It's going to be the difference in what's going to, you know, make a world-class organization or a world-class manager or leader, whatever it's going to be, is how do we, you know, continue to protect, you know, mental health, well-being, because to your point, for a while there, I felt like I never worked more. I felt like it was just nonstop. You just go back to back to back. And, you know, how do you even that out and level load it? But no, I think that stuff is great. And I think it does make us as leaders kind of reflect on where we've been, what we've been asking of people. And to your point, how do you get more efficient with the meeting cadence, with due dates, tasks, et cetera. So, yeah, all good stuff.
Yeah, the other thing is you got to manage where the refrigerator is, because it's not in your office when you typically go to work. So for me, the pandemic has been about 15 pounds, but I think it's just the convenience of the kitchen is right upstairs.
Yeah, I think one other way, you know, just to be a little provocative for our industry is, you know, with the speed to market, the speed of and some of the unique things we had to do around supporting clinical trials. It's not to say that all these things will become permanent, but it's interesting that the speed and the agility that we saw by some of the regulatory partners across the globe. And I think that could be an interesting place for some innovation. And, you know, that's one thing that out of the pandemic that, you know, I hope we look at, you know, in being able to adopt things. So, you know, I think folks are starting to see that now that, you know, particularly in our industry, when folks want to be on site, they want to come and do an audit. Well, now if everybody's doing audits again, you know, let's look back and think about the record that we just achieved in terms of, you know, quality performance as an industry, you know, levels of recalls across the industry, levels of challenges across the industry, service levels. And, you know, part of that was the lack of distraction. So it's a real balance to get back to those collaborative things. And obviously from an audit and regulatory perspective, we want and to foster that great collaboration. But I think some of the innovative ways that came out of the pandemic, we should be thinking about how to build those in permanently.
Thank you, guys. In terms of technology and electronic tools, what has changed over this year?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about some supply chain tools, but Brian, I think you have some of the coolest insight on some of the technology that we deployed this year. If you wanted to kind of share some of that.
Yeah, happy to. I think, you know, from an ops perspective, you know, we talked about a little bit earlier about the difficulty in staffing, you know, so staffing has been a challenge throughout really the whole country, the whole world. You know, you can't go to, you know, whether it's your local restaurant or your distribution center, there's been staffing challenges. So one of the things that we started rolling out really a couple of years ago, so, you know, we didn't see it coming, but I think we just, you know, we were proactive on looking for automation is we have these things called cobots, and they're exactly what they sound. They're robots that are designed to work right next to people. So, you know, they cohabitate on a production line, for example, and you can give a redundant type of task to the robot, whether it's inspection or moving material or palletizing cases, things like that. And you can take people off of a line. So that's really helped us. Not only are they really cool from a technology standpoint, they never take a day off. They don't need breaks. Things like that, but they also have helped us in a time where staffing has been a challenge. So I think that, you know, we've been very fortunate to have rolled those out just in time.
Yeah, and I see that somebody in the chat asked a question around cost savings. So obviously, both from, you know, an efficiency perspective, I think the cobots present one, and new ways of working was the second part of the question. I think the routing of documentation, boy, I mean, the level of the reduction from an ESG perspective of paper and using tools like DocuSign and other virtual collaboration tools, I think, has widely accelerated. And I think that's a good thing. I think that helps get much more real-time information. I think folks that were already moving towards electronic batch records are moving so even more intensely in that direction. Just given the power of that tool. I think the other thing I talked about earlier is sort of a new level of collaboration and partnership and openness. You know, here at PCI, we have the Bridge tool, which helps give our suppliers and customers better view into their inventories and their service levels here at PCI. And we recently rolled out the 2.0 version, which is just really an awesome opportunity to give better access in real time to the data that is most critical. And if you think about how many calls, meetings, follow-ups, you know, can be eliminated if you can in real time, like, and for our industry, I mean, if you can order a pizza and see when Johnny Pizza delivery person is leaving and how far away they are from your house, then with these critical supplies and clinical trial products, why shouldn't we be able to see similar? And so I think those are some innovations that are exciting and I think are going to continue to drive innovation for all of us.
Gil, Ed also asked a question. He said, for the past two decades, just about every industry has built zero inventory or an on-demand supply chain. COVID exposed the risk that has. Are you seeing people question that plan now? And do you see a shift to companies maintaining higher levels of inventories in the future?
Yeah, just in time is just in time until it's not in time at all, right? So great question, and absolutely. I think frankly, you know, we've talked a lot of the upbeat positive things. I think one thing we saw is that, you know, Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, if you have a chance to read his book, it's not the most exciting read, but it's very, very, very interesting and unveiling about the pandemic. And one of the things he talked about is just, frankly, the lack of collaboration across the globe. And so you saw a lot of countries prioritizing their supply chain and their citizens in terms of the pandemic. And so I think the concept of reshoring, the concept of API manufacturing outside of China and India are going to be topics that folks are going to be talking about a lot more. Manufacturing and sterile capability in the US and Europe. So absolutely, I think it's a topic of conversation. I think in the short term, by necessity, we are all leaning into and seeing a tick up in inventory. But again, if we, in the right way, leverage the partnerships, leverage new tools and innovative ways of working. I think we can get back to being efficient, but I think there will be a different conversation and a different view, not only, you know, in the front lines, but also in the boardroom of the way we think about inventory and inventory value. Great question.
Yeah, Gil, tying onto that too, I think, you know, it's, you know, during this pandemic, we, for example, have decided to open a facility in New England, you know, which is something new that we've done. And when we look at the reason we're doing things like that is right around that question that Ed asked about inventory and where that inventory is. So we're taking an approach of a global capability with a local flair. So it's closer, you know, instead of one giant facility on each continent, we're putting more flexible, smaller facilities throughout the world, which really should help the supply chain. And that's really the strategy for us when we're doing that.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Good.
No, I was just complimenting Brian. So.
Cut it off. All right, another question. Are we at the point where we think or believe doing business virtually more or equally effective as face-to-face on-site or our on-site visits and meetings?
I think we'll let Derek take this one because you've been listening to me and Gil an awful lot.
Yeah, right. I was like, what one do I get? You know, no, I mean, I think everything in moderation, right, to a degree. I think some stuff is definitely more efficient virtually. To Gil's point, like, you know, this is cool, right? We're all on camera together in different parts of the world. Like there's ways to do it. We didn't have to get out of the plane. But, you know, I don't think at the core we can ever replace the face-to-face interactions. You know, that's how you build a relationship. That's how you build the foundation of what we're doing. And, you know, as we try to build cultures as organizations, because, you know, all of us are growing, whether it's on the sponsor side or us, you know, there's opportunities to bring new people in. And do they know the secret sauce, to Brian's point? So I think you just got to look at it from a mix standpoint of, you know, can't be 100% virtual and it can't be 100% face-to-face. And how do you make something that makes sense for everybody and kind of land somewhere in the middle?
Okay.
Yeah, though, you know, tying to that, one of the things that I've seen and I think our sales team has seen is that, you know, it's hard to go visit a customer today. So the sales, and none of us on the phone are in sales. So it's not, I guess there are a couple listening, but I think that the BD teams have had that challenge of, where do I find my customer now? Because as customers have gotten more remote as well, they might have people working all over the United States. Like, if you think of a Boston customer or a Southern California customer, they don't all live there anymore. They're not going to an office every day. So from that BD experience has changed significantly too, both for the customer and for the seller. So that's pretty interesting as well.
Okay, and then last question of the session. What are each of you most excited about for the next 12 months?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go. So for me, What I'm most excited for is that, you know, hopefully there is an end in sight to the pandemic. We're getting people back on site. You know, we're filling some of our open headcounts and just, you know, moving into the future of this new normal and whatever that looks like. And then, you know, just continuing to push the needle on innovation. I do think it changed a lot of the mindsets within quality and trying to think outside the box if you can. So I'm looking forward to that on top of the holidays, obviously.
Yeah, Greg Daly nailed the dress code. Pants are optional now on the virtual meeting. So as long as you have a nice shirt on, you can have like some stretch pants on down, you know, be very comfortable. I'm really excited about seeing our sites again. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to travel around the U.S. and see the sites in the U.S. pretty well. But getting into Canada, for example, or getting into Australia, into Europe has been very difficult. You know, I've got a family over there that I haven't seen in 2 years, so I'm pretty looking forward to seeing our teams in Wales and our team in Australia and, you know, in Germany. So that's, for me, that's what I'm most excited about, is just reconnecting with all the people.
Yeah, I'm most hopeful and excited about in the coming year a little bit of lifting of the fear. I think, you know, for those of us that have ever worked in a cold environment, many on the phone have, for a period of time, by you know, midday, you're exhausted. And you're like, you know, if you're working in a very cold environment, because your body's trying to stay warm. And I think we all need to be very kind to ourselves. If you know, over the last 2 years, we've all been, you know, surrounded by a lot of illness, a lot of talk about death, and a lot of, you know, hard topics. And so what I'm really hopeful and excited about is, you know, as we begin to emerge out of this pandemic, the lifting of some of that fear, getting back to enjoying and embracing the interactions, valuing those in-person and virtual experiences that we can do together. And I think, you know, it's incumbent on all of us to think about how, you know, we define the new normal to take the best of us forward and leave some of the division and fear and things that have sort of crept in during this tumultuous period in the past. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. And that is the conclusion. So thank you, team. Also, in concluding this water cooler session, it will also be the conclusion of the Water Cooler Chat series, as we will be retiring this year. But not to worry, we will be creating a new and exciting new educational format for you. So be on the lookout for that new offering in 2022. If you've missed any of our past chats and are interested in listening to the recording, we do have all of our recordings available on our website on our resources page at pci.com/watercoolerlist. So thank you all for joining us today, and we wish you a very happy new year.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.